I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Brewski, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Michael McKee was a vascular surgeon with no criminal record who allegedly drove 300 miles from Chicago to Columbus to execute his ex-wife and her husband while their two children slept nearby. The marriage lasted 7 months. The divorce was finalized in 2017. Police say they found the murder weapon in McKee's penthouse about 11 days after the killings. He's now facing two counts of aggravated murder, charges that could put him away for life without parole. So what does the prosecution need to prove? And how do they do it when there are no eyewitnesses and the defendant is a smart, successful doctor who's never been in trouble? Joining us, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, to help us break all this down from a legal perspective. Let's start looking at all this from the prosecution standpoint. McKee was initially charged with the murder. Then it was upgraded to aggravated murder. What are we talking about here? What kind of specific elements are going into place when prosecutors upgrade the verbiage there? And obviously the severity of the crime to aggravated. What is that signal and how they're framing this case, Eric?
Sure. So the original murder charge required the prosecution prove that this was an intentional killing, that he caused the deaths of two people, and that he did that willfully. The aggravation comes with this added element of prior calculation and design. Some jurisdictions call it premeditation. It's essentially that he planned this out, that he took measures to build up to this, and he knew what he was doing, and it happened over a period of time. And then on top of that, there's also kind of a firearm enhancer, because a firearm was used in the deaths. And so that's what really ups the ante in terms of the aggravated murder, is the prior calculation and design allegation.
Police reportedly recovered the murder weapon from McKee's Chicago apartment 11 days after the murders. It was a Nibin match, allegedly confirming a ballistic match to shell casings from the actual scene. How devastating is it that you have this kind of evidence? You have a Nibin match going on here, which is interesting as to why you'd even have a gun that's in the Nibin system. But, you know, you can buy them at pawn shops and stuff. Who knows? Can defense attorneys realistically challenge the forensic firearms analysis in 2026 here if it goes beyond preliminary match and turns out to be a pretty solid match here?
You know, the alleged Nibin match is certainly problematic for the defense, of course. It sort of links the alleged murder weapon to this guy. That being said, you know, it's not every science has weaknesses. There are ways to challenge these sorts of ballistics analyses. And, you know, we're talking about markings on casings. We're talking about types of casings used. We're talking about other findings forensically that can be challenged, but, you know, there's kind of the CSI effect with jurors when they hear, hey, this is there's science behind this, defense has got trouble.
Yeah, when there's the science behind it. McKee allegedly gave police a bogus alibi initially before invoking his right to remain silent. What do you take on that? I mean, it's interesting that he said anything when police were starting to question him. I mean, if you did it, I would think maybe you'd just be like, talk to my attorney right away. But the fact that he was willing and able to give some sort of alibi that then, well, didn't really turn out to be too accurate. How do you take that if you're looking at this case from a prosecution standpoint where the story changes? And if you got nothing to change, why would you be giving a bogus story?
I mean, that's the thing, is sort of, from a prosecutorial standpoint, Tony, reeks of deception. Why would he need to throw off law enforcement if he was, you know, at a baseball game or somewhere else? Why would he need to lie about his whereabouts when these two gruesome murders were committed? Certainly, it's beyond suspicious. It shows a consciousness of guilt. And at the trial phase, it's potentially going to be used against him to show this deception. And also, if he testifies, they're going to be able to pepper him on cross-examination saying, hey, from the very beginning, you lied to police. Why should we believe you now?
Well, especially being a physician, this is somebody who takes an oath. You know, they are moral and supposed to be moral and ethically, you know, professional. And now he's lying to another credentialed type of a agency. It doesn't make a lot of sense unless you're trying to deceive people. It's not going to play well for him at all.
It's a really good point. You know, lawyers, the profession that I'm in, we have a duty of candor, not only to the court, but in a general sense to everybody else. We just engage in these flagrant misrepresentations. And I imagine there's some kind of ethical canon in the medical field, or there should be, or at least the jurors are going to see it as such by saying, hey, this is a licensed professional and he's lying to the cops. That really sort of cast doubt on what might be seen as sort of a sterling background of at least no criminal history.
What's interesting is he went back to work after the murders for a period of time. And we're starting to learn some information, unconfirmed as of right now, but I'm just starting to read about this morning from some pretty reputable sources. The allegation is this, if it's true, but I'm going to go with probably, considering the sources that it's coming from. Excuse me. There's allegations now that when he went back to work, he performed surgery. Someone has died, allegedly, who he performed surgery on. In the days after the murders. I believe it was a surgery performed around January 8th of this year. So like a week and a half ago or so, or 2 weeks. I don't have all the details. None of that. We, again, I mean, someone could have died. You know, this could have just been natural.
Right.
Tried the surgery, didn't work. I don't have the details. But I would imagine that might be ripe for a malpractice suit of some shape or form, considering the man might not have been in the best mind state to be performing vascular surgery in the days after murdering some people. How do you think this is going to go for whoever's the family, whoever just died after being operated on by McKay, allegedly?
Well, gosh, if that did happen, there is certainly a potential malpractice lawsuit against McKay that could be brought. But this could creep in some form or fashion to the criminal case. If I'm a prosecutor, I'm looking at this and saying, hey, after a person commits two grisly murders, they might be kind of shaken up, that they might be, you know, off their game at work. And is this evidence that of the sort of aftermath, the psychological mechanisms that were going on inside Dr. McKay's head, that's manifested in some alleged malpractice? Is that just further evidence that is consistent with a person who just killed two people and is jarred by that experience, perhaps?
I'm kind of starting to wonder a little bit more. I mean, if I would think anybody who had any sort of experience with McKay over the last, 8 years, I'd be a little concerned. I'm really wondering what the track record is. Obviously, there have been some malpractice suits against him. He's pretty much tried to avoid them, allegedly, by skipping town and giving fake addresses and such. I'd really be wondering about this. Are we at the tip of an iceberg here of what's the survival rate for McKay's patients over the last 8 years? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's pure speculation right now.
Interesting point, though.
But this guy seems to be a bit of a wound collector. I don't think I'd want to have surgery done by him on one of his bad weeks or weeks that he's felt slighted by somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, what is the survival rate not only of his patients, but the people with whom he comes in contact in life, allegedly?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like death is following this man or perhaps accompanying him in some fashion, if these allegations are true, and certainly adds a deeper level of macabre to an already kind of gruesome set of circumstances.
Well, it really does. Karen in our chat said, I really hope someone has checked to make sure his parents are still alive.
I don't know the story on that. I mean,
I don't either, but
I don't know anything about it. I mean, yeah, I would think I don't know. Maybe they're gone, but not necessarily by his hand, but who knows? I would just be really curious to see if this guy ran through a path of destruction throughout his life, or if this is more in recent years, where the wound collecting really ramped up. Reports indicate that neighbors may have seen McKay near the Tepe home days before the murders, which would be really interesting because that's a 300-mile drive. If prosecutors can establish surveillance or stalking behavior prior to the killings, how does that shape this narrative for premeditation?
You know, if they can establish that, it's very supportive of a prior calculation or design. It shows that this wasn't kind of some heat of passion thing. It's not like, you know, some bar altercation that ensues and escalates to a death. It's something that a person allegedly planned for a period of time. It seems predatory in a sense, if these allegations are true, that they're sort of, you know, stalking their prey over a period of time, learning the, you know, how that person moves, where they go, when they leave the house, when they're in the house, when there is no one else around the house. And those are the circumstances the government says gave rise to these killings.
It's going to be difficult for the prosecution. I mean, the digital evidence is going to be very telling and all that, if it's there. But let's just for a moment, you know, say there's not a lot of digital trail here of showing that there was this angst, this hate, this whatever feeling you want to call it towards Monique leading up to it, at least digitally. Is it going to be a hard one to connect dots on? The divorce is in 2017, the murders in 25. Is it going to be difficult to establish motive when there is that 8-year gap if there isn't a lot of evidence, you know, showing a buildup?
That could be a challenge for prosecution, because this type of behavior, when we're talking about stalking, when we're talking about domestic violence-esque type of measures taken, harassment, things like that. Those often happen behind closed doors. It's not something that happens like when you're out at a football game with thousands of witnesses. And they do that on purpose because they can avoid detection and they can also sort of exert their own control through this limited channel within which they are subjecting their alleged victim to that. But who else sees that? You know, the wife is dead. Her husband is dead. They can't be witnesses. Did she tell family members? Did she tell friends? Did she tell colleagues? They're going to look at statements that could have been made to these folks that might have been consistent with these stalking allegations.
How much weight can they put in that, and how admissible is that? Because, I mean, essentially it's kind of hearsay-ish, isn't it? I mean, if you have family members, and they do, they exist, they have said, family members have described McKee as emotionally abusive based on what Monique had told them while she was alive. Always worried about him coming and doing something, apparently. That, I mean, that's powerful stuff for 8 years after a divorce that you're still worried about.
Yeah.
Worried about him, not in a sense of I worry for his well-being, but are you worried about what he's going to decide to do at some point in time? Certainly very important to the context of this, but again, it's someone's feelings being reiterated to a family member. A lot of people, you know, some people have feelings like that and they're completely unfounded. Obviously, there's some more founding to this and more grounding to it, considering what allegedly took place here. Is all of that open for getting out into the ether of a trial, all of the things that Monique may have said to her family members over those years?
Not necessarily. There are kind of two potential impediments. One is, as you mentioned, the evidentiary prohibition on hearsay, which is an out-of-court statement. So Monique made these statements out of court, and now she cannot testify to them because she is deceased. Also, there is the Constitution's Confrontation Clause, which essentially says if the prosecution is going to bring some statement from a person and use it against you as evidence, you as a defendant get to confront that person. Well, if that person is no longer around, there is no such confrontation. And so usually a lot of those statements might be barred. The jury might not even hear the full picture of this, which is, of course, concerning.
What do you think the odds are here that he has a clear digital footprint, that he cleared his history, that he kept it out, and he was smart enough to not leave a trail there, considering the fact that he's allegedly kept the damn weapon? I mean, it's kind of like sometimes you see folks like this where it's like, you did this, but you didn't do that. Although more times than not, one's kind of a tell about one's own housekeeping, especially if they seem to have somewhat of narcissistic qualities about them, of better than the rest of the world, outsmarting the rest of the world, smartest man in the room. Kind of, you know, if we're reading him, just my own conjecture, he kind of exudes that sort of a feel about him. So I'm wondering, you know, is this a guy who did keep tabs on that and cleared the history to avoid detection? Or is it one of those where he thought he was too smart for the room? No one's ever going to look there anyhow.
You know, I think there are a number of considerations. One, you know, he is a high level doctor. He's a vascular surgeon. You know, we would think of those people as being meticulous, as being careful, as really taking their time and thinking through all of their actions. On the other hand, with an absence of criminal history, he appears to not be a professional criminal. So professional criminals are sometimes hip to this digital forensics game and can engage in certain measures like having burner phones, like using different IP addresses, going to the library. There are all sorts of things that can be done. But the fact that he's kind of appears to be an alleged amateur criminal tells me that there might be some gems within that digital footprint that he left behind. And we'll have to see.
It kind of makes you wonder. You go into the library and you see somebody using the free internet computer. You're like, what are the odds of that person being a killer?
Yeah, what are you doing? I've always walked past those people and looked at them like, what you up to?
Unless you're like 78 years old and this is just kind of how you use the internet and where you use it, which I kind of get at that point. But if you're like young and on the internet access computer at the library, he might be up to something. Like, there should be like a permanent camera on the library at the computer, and just like
there is.
at every library, and see how many criminals you catch. I bet it'd be high numbers. I really bet it would. But what about this? Do you think the gun was kept? Again, pure conjecture here. Criminals don't often keep the murder weapon. But again, it kind of speaks to mindset here of, did he think he was too smart for the room and no one was going to go get him? Or did he want to keep that murder weapon because he wasn't done, because he still had other grievances out there that had not yet been addressed? There was still the two pending civil lawsuits. I kind of been wondering if those folks might consider themselves lucky today to still be alive, that they weren't going to be coming up next.
Well, gosh, you know, on top of those points, Tony, sometimes these people have such an infatuation, or they're so consumed by some issue like a prior love that didn't work out how they wanted, that there are emotional attachments to the actions they take and the instruments with which they take them. And mm-hmm. so I've seen before in cases where people have kept evidence from homicide scenes purportedly because of the emotional connection to them.
Yeah.
So that's possible. Did he have future plans? That's possible. Or is it not actually the murder weapon? That's also possible.
So any it was like a souvenir.
Doors. Yeah.
A dark one, yeah.
Usually, but the thing is, usually it's not the weapon that's the souvenir. You know, if they find anything from the house, if he did take a souvenir, that's going to be really interesting and telling. Like, is there a piece of jewelry or something of hers that's at the house? That would be, I mean, there's just so much we don't know yet. But what we do know is pretty damning.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you.
Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.